On today's show, we're asking our guests to tap into their third eye and make predictions for 2022. And to help us do that now, we're checking in with the Karnak of Erie County, New York State Republican Party Chair Nick Langworthy. Welcome back to the show, Nick.
Oh, thank you so much for having me back.
So from my perspective, it seems like Governor Hochul's State of the State address was light on items that might come from a liberal wish list. So do you think our new governor is going to take that approach throughout the 2022 legislative session, or are you expecting a pivot to the left, potentially with the unveiling of her executive budget proposal later this month?
Well, I think, you know, the left has been fed an awful lot in the last few years. So Kathy Hochul's in a weird position. She's got Tom Suozzi, who is trying to get to the right of her, which is a weird place to try to be in a Democratic primary. And she's got Jumaane Williams, who, you know, is to her left. So she has got to try to be the center, you know, take the center lane here in this primary to try to appeal all the way. But at some point, she's going to have to, you know, throw a bone to that left wing. That the bone that I see that she's thrown is the fact that she did not go for a repeal or any tweaks to bail reform in this state of the state. I think that was glaring. You know, she's trying to address our rampant crime problem. She's not answering the calls of our new mayor, Eric Adams, to, you know, right the ship here. And, you know, Andrea Stewart-Cousins said herself there's no appetite at this point. So it looks like she is going to ignore those calls to, you know, end this senseless destruction of our criminal justice system as we've had in this state.
Well, sticking then with public safety, an issue that the governor did talk about, Hochul identified tuition assistance for incarcerated New Yorkers as one of her priorities. And this was something that Andrew Cuomo tried to bring back as governor, but gave up once he faced significant pushback, including from his own party. Do you think the Democratic majorities in the legislature will have the, I guess, intestinal fortitude to see this policy to the end zone?
Well, hey, we have redistricting, so there's an awful lot of what-ifs out there on districts. But, you know, these members have to go back to their districts. And you're defending the indefensible when you're suggesting giving tuition assistance to people that are in jail for serious crimes while, you know, everyday New Yorkers are struggling, you know, to pay tuition. So I think that is something that it's very tough for people, unless you're in the darkest of blue districts, to sell to your constituents. Because, you know, this is a problem, you know, affording college and higher education is a problem for, you know, people across the board, even upper earners. I mean, it's a tough swallow when you look at how much it costs to educate kids in college at this point, in the debt that is being racked up by the higher ed, you know, cabal, you know, that certainly needs to be looked into. But to give assistance to those in jail, that's just a bridge too far for many, unless we get all of our other problems solved.
We spoke on Thursday with Senate Republican leader Robert Orr about this issue, and he expressed his opposition to this issue as well. So moving forward, is it likely that we're going to see a coordinated media initiative against this proposal spearheaded by Republicans in the legislature?
Well, I think Republicans are going to be loud and opposed to this, and I suspect you're going to have a fair amount of Democrats doing the same thing. You know, the question is, does it end up as part of the budget? And the proof's in the details. I mean, it's something that I think is very difficult for members, you know, to stand proud of in their districts. You know, the argument I understand that an educated workforce coming out of jail, there's likely less recidivism. But you can't have criminals walking out the door without consequence and then worry about those that have been incarcerated for 20 years. You know, we have wholesale, fundamentally broken criminal justice system in this state. You know, the bail and discovery reform that was thrust on us 2 years ago has made New York less safe. That needs to be addressed before anybody could talk about something, you know, this outlandish.
Turning to the legislative process at the Capitol, Governor Hochul has talked repeatedly about her interest in a collaborative approach with the legislature, a sentiment she reiterated during her State of the State address. Do you think that commitment to a better working relationship with state lawmakers applies to GOP officials, or is it safe to assume that they're going to find themselves on the outside looking in again during this legislative session, including during budget negotiations?
I think that's an absolute no. I mean, I don't think she means that there's going to be any spirit of bipartisanship. It just means she's not probably in an election year going to continually disrespect the legislative leaders, quite like Andrew Cuomo made a cottage industry of. He governed through fear, and she's trying to be all things to all people. What she'll understand is she's going to get rolled over by the legislature if they figure out how to use their power again that they haven't been able to use in the years where, you know, Andrew Cuomo, who understood power and could have taught a master's class on how to manipulate state government to maximize power. You know, Kathy Hochul doesn't get that. She, in many ways, I mean, you know, as I said, she's a in our response. I mean, she's a proud Joe Biden Democrat, and they're both in over their head, and they're both incompetent.
Turning to politics more overtly, are we going to have a primary this June for the Republican Party nomination for governor, or will there be one candidate at that point?
Well, you know, the party rules dictate that anyone that gets 25% of the weighted vote at our convention will be given status on the ballot, or they could petition on. I think the petition route is a tall order for anybody. I suspect that Governor Hochul is not going to acquiesce to any wishes to shorten the amount of petitions necessary to get on the ballot in the year that she's on the ballot when she has multiple primary opponents. Congressman Zeldin has assembled over 85% of the weighted vote as declared today. I've called him publicly our presumed nominee because of that fact. It doesn't appear as though that at this stage his declared opponents have any counties in their corner. This is the jury that will decide, you know, the ultimate, you know, primary battle. Ultimately, someone can go to petitions, but it's a much taller order to get that done in the winter months under this new political calendar with a June primary than it was in times gone by when our petition process took place in June and was for a September primary. So I think it's a tall order for anyone to make the ballot outside of the convention process. So, you know, we're going to wait and see. You know, our convention will be at the end of February, at the end of the designated window that the State Board of Elections has dictated on the political calendar. And, you know, we will, you know, if things play out the way they are, I believe, you know, Congressman Zeldin is going to be the overwhelming, you know, nominee of our party.
And feet to the fire, no primary challenge then because of the logistical hurdles facing Andrew Giuliani and Rob Astorino?
It's a very uphill battle for anyone to make the primary ballot outside of the convention.
And fast-forwarding then to November, what's your prediction for GOP gains or losses in the state legislature come November?
Well, it's really tough to make a projection once because we're still in this feckless, you know, really broken system of redistricting.
Well, let's assume for the sake of this prediction that the Democrats who control the process will not draw lines that are very favorable to Republican candidates in any way, shape, or form.
Just and then the question becomes just how ruthless are those hyper-partisan Democrats? I mean, you know, we're in a long road to redistricting still. It's going to be a very long month before that. I would hope that, you know, the leadership would stay out and let the commission do its work and not meddle with it. You know, it's been very disingenuous along the way, the amount of meddling that's happened with the process. And, you know, I think the New Yorker stood very proud to say, hell no, don't screw with an independent process on redistricting when it was defeated overwhelmingly on the proposition this last year. But really, I mean, Democrats are going to create Democrat districts. I think that many Republicans will outperform this year. We are going to have a wave election across this great country. And the sentiment is very clear on where things are with the Biden administration. The pitiful response, I mean, you know, just looking at the lack of testing around the state, I think it's a very painful indictment of both Joe Biden and Kathy Hochul, for that matter. The fact we can't get simple testing right now is really sad. But you have the opportunity, you know, with new districts, new faces coming forward, I think there's going to be real Republican wins. I can't put a number to it because I don't have a map to project on. But I think we're going to have, you know, perhaps even, you know, gains So as much as Democrats have high hopes that redistricting is going to take Republicans into oblivion, I think they're dead wrong.
When you think about the upcoming political season, what do you foresee as the potential role in campaigning for New York Republicans for former President Donald Trump? Will he have a visible and vocal presence in New York, or do you think he will be on the sidelines for the most part during the 2022 campaign in New York?
You know, I think it remains to be seen what our congressional districts look like. I think that he is pretty dedicated to helping the Republicans take back the House. I'm sure there's, I know Congresswoman Stefanik has a fundraiser, you know, in Florida at Mar-a-Lago for, you know, her efforts to grow the party and in her own campaign. So I do think that there's ways he's, you know, helping out that cause. Whether he'll actually come to New York, I'm not sure if that'll be the case or not. It depends on, you know, the candidacies and where he could be of most use.
Well, speaking of the members of Congress from New York, Republicans currently control 8 of 27 congressional seats. In November, there will be 26 on the ballot, and with lines, again, that we don't really know what they'll look like. Do you anticipate that the incumbents are in a pretty good position right now to hold on to their seats regardless of the shape their districts take?
We've now gotten a view of what Democrats, at least members of the independent commission, you know, look at is a likely map. And I don't see a whole lot of shifting. I mean, I think obviously the Syracuse seat changes very fundamentally.
Putting Claudia Tenney, you know, and John Katko.
Well,
in the same
Congressman Katko's, you know, the heart of his district is put in with the worst parts of Congressman Reed's district for Republicans.
Oh, gotcha.
And, you know, it makes it a D+17 seat, which is a number you don't see outside of New York City. And it becomes, you know, the most heavily Democratic seat in upstate New York from, I think, a D+2, which is where it was before. So you see the sentiment that they really want to take that seat. They actually take Claudia Tenney's home, but I don't think that would ensure that she would run for that seat. I think she would really look towards the district that she represents,
right,
rather than where her actual domicile is. So I do think our incumbents are pretty strong. You know, we have a retirement in Tom Reed and a presumptive retirement with Lee Zeldin seeking the governor's office. But, you know, New York 1, his district is largely preserved. I mean, Congressman Garbarino is in a good spot. And I think, you know, certainly the Democratic preview of Nicole Malliotakis is a district that's certainly winnable, you know, by her. So I feel very strongly about our incumbent, you know, Republicans, you know, seeking reelection, you know, other than, you know, what's been done in Syracuse.
And finally, would you say it's a sure thing or a guarantee that the Buffalo Bills will be the Super Bowl champions in 2022?
I think it's a damn near guarantee. And we do have a parade planned in Buffalo. You know, we're ready to go, and I'm looking forward to, you know, this weekend, you know, defeating the Jets and then going on to a home playoff game.
Well, we've been speaking with New York State Republican Party Chairman Nick Langworthy. Chairman, thank you so much for making the time. I really appreciate it.
Take care.
Support for the Capitol Press Room is provided by the New York State AFL-CIO, a federation of 3,000 unions fighting for working people by keeping New York State union strong. UnionStrongNY.com for more information.